Hi, this is Angie Jones from FitBusinesswoman.com, and today I have the privilege to be talking to Shan Vanderleek. Shan is the founder of True Balance Life Coaching and is certified by the Coach Training Alliance. So Shan, welcome, and if you could just tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up in the life coaching industry.
Well, thank you so much for interviewing me today. It's a pleasure to be here. And, you know, my story is probably very similar to a lot of the women who are subscribers to your blog and follow your body of work, in that I came to a crossroads and wanted to change my life and make something different out of it. I was in the corporate world for 16 years as a leader in broadcast television. And what I mean by a leader is responsible for 15 salespeople, and as far as training, motivation, sales, and the whole thing. And it was a fun, wonderful career until it wasn't, and it was no longer fulfilling, and it was time for me to explore and discover what I wanted to do with my life when I grow up, right? And certainly having my first child and my only child at the time had a lot to do with that as well, I think. It's amazing how children can show up for us and help us see what's important. And so thankfully, I started to do some investigating. I knew that my talents were certainly with motivational endeavors and helping people set goals and improving their lives and living in a bigger way. I was already coaching my sales staff that way. And so it seemed to be a very natural transition to move into coaching. And initially I thought I would do business and sales coaching. And I actually do have another business called Seize True Success that only focuses on that. But what happened was things evolved into a life coaching business called True Balance, because I realized there was an unbelievable amount of women in the world like me who were involved in very high-powered, high-stress jobs. A lot of times they were the ones responsible for the bills at home, and they wore so many hats and had so many roles that the last thing that they were doing is taking care of themselves. So I thought, wow, how can I teach? How can I inspire? How can I become involved with helping women understand the importance of what I call extreme self-care? And I think all too often as women, we put everything and everyone else first. And we'll start a new business when the mortgage is paid off. We'll take a yoga or art class once the kids finish school. Or we'll get healthier, fit when we have more time. All of that stuff. So my goal has become to inspire as many women as possible to be willing to put themselves first, to take care of their bodies and nurture their dreams and make the best of their talents.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you and I have a lot in common in that way. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you today, is I've been getting, you know, as we talked about, I've been getting your newsletters and your emails for a while now, and I really liked your writing style. And I just thought that you were just spot on with what you were trying to inspire other women with, and because that's sort of my passion too, and my goal is to teach women that it's okay to be self-indulgent. It's absolutely the best thing that you can do for yourself and for your loved ones is to take care of yourself first. Where I'm kind of more in the fitness arena, and you know, taking care of your bodies and making sure you have enough time to, you know, get some activity and time for yourself. So I like that, you know, you've made that transition from, it seemed like a very natural transition going from the corporate world into the corporate, or into the coaching, because there are so many corporate women, and I see it too because I'm still in the corporate world. I see it all the time where women are just not taking care of themselves. They don't eat breakfast. They don't eat throughout the day. They're you know, grabbing snacks out of the vending machine, or they're skipping lunch, or they're, you know, working really late, and they just feel incredibly pressured. Because it's just a crazy, hectic world, especially now. They just feel so pressured, especially women, to do and to be everything to everyone. So how important is it then, Shan, to create a more effective balance in our life, and how do we go about doing that?
Well, I think that it's the difference between living and bumping around. And what I mean by that is how often are we tied to this to-do list and this this frenetic pace, this situation where sometimes we're spinning in circles. We can't find our keys. We're running late. We don't know what's going on. We've got to do this. We've got to take care of that. At some point something's going to give, and usually it's going to be your health. And so the way that I look at this, and when I work with the women that I coach, and as well as I'm also a play shop instructor. I earned my yoga teacher certification and registration so that I could combine yoga and coaching, as well as some guided meditation, because it's my opinion and has been my experience having gone through this transition on my own, that we have to ease our minds, calm our bodies, and nourish our souls. And so what does that mean? Well, we need to be taking time for what I call joy spotting. And that just means what's happened to you today that made you smile, that brought you joy. It doesn't have to be anything big. The gratitude journaling, I know that you've heard of that before, but it's a great idea to write things down and to share those things with your family. To lighten up and not take ourselves so friggin' seriously. Because, you know, seriously, it makes me bananas to think about how much time I spent so very serious because of my role. Now it's just laughable. And then the calming your body, the moving your body in some way, regular massage. I tell people all the time, take a bath. When's the last time you got in your bath? And they laugh at me. They think that's so silly.
And yeah, because it sounds
but
indulgent
really,
and selfish,
when is,
doesn't it?
I'm sorry?
It sounds so indulgent and selfish, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, or they say, oh, how would I have time for that? I was speaking to a group of women yesterday, and she said, well, that would be nice, but, you know, apparently you don't have children. And I just said, well, I do have a child, and she knows that her mom takes good care of herself and that I take a bath when she goes to bed. Or whatever, that mom is going to do A, B, and C to take care of herself so that she can show up and be healthier for my daughter and show up and be healthier for my husband and for my clients and for my friends. The nourishing your soul part is so important. To take the time, even corporate-powered women, to take 5 minutes and shut everything down. Just 5 minutes to create a space. I used to, luckily, I live in a very beautiful area of northern Michigan, and there are, you know, so many lakes and streams and places in nature. And so when I needed to decompress, I would take my lunch hour, and I would go and stare at the water or just close my eyes or take a walk in the park and then come back refreshed and ready for the rest of my afternoon. We're not machines. We're women, and we deserve extreme self-care. We deserve to spoil ourselves rotten, frankly.
You're right. I can't agree with you more. Isn't it great, though, if you can just go outside, and nature is just such a so therapeutic. And it's
in
your own way, just to be unplugged and to go outside and stare at nature. It's wonderful.
It makes a big difference, for sure.
Yeah. So those are some of the things that maybe we should kind of incorporate into our lives to kind of bring about more balance and bring about more peace and take care of ourselves. What kind of things should we avoid if we're trying to create more balance in our lives?
Oh, good question. I think that the things that we should avoid have to do with agreeing to take on more without significant thought first. And I also believe that we need to be mindful, take an inventory of the responsibilities that we've agreed to that may no longer suit us, that may no longer fit the person that we've become. It's okay to make those changes and to walk away from responsibilities that no longer suit you.
And not feel guilty about it.
We could have an entire conversation about guilt. It's just not acceptable to be hanging guilt around your neck. It doesn't do you any good. It's not healthy for you. I mean, certainly if you're doing something outright that's hurtful or, you know, to somebody else, then yeah, you know, you've earned your guilt. But I'm talking about the stuff that we put ourselves through that is just not necessary. That rewind and play in our heads. Go ahead.
So if someone approaches you and says, you know, we need to have 10 dozen cookies made for our PTA event that's going on tomorrow, and you already have, you know, quite a few things on your plate. You've got a big project for work. So what sort of, how should they kind of approach that as, you know, gently putting them down or saying no without feeling
saying no
guilt, you know, hanging around their head?
Sure. Well, and again, it's really easy for me to say no because I've practiced a lot now. And so if somebody comes to me at the last minute for something like that, I will say, I can understand that you're under a lot of pressure to get those cookies made. Unfortunately, with such short notice, I'm not going to be able to help you out. And then I might make a recommendation that they pick them up at the local grocery store, or that if I did want to help but I didn't want to make 10 dozen, that, you know, I'd be happy to donate a couple of dozen.
Okay.
But,
yeah, so it's, you know, like, a, you know, an all or nothing. It's just, you know, a little bit of compromise. But, you know, if you
sure.
don't want to do it, then, you know, here are some, you know, here, I'll give you some suggestions of what you can do instead.
Exactly. So it's letting them know that you care about their request, but that at the same time, that you're in control of the boundaries that you have, that you're not going to allow, and it's not that it's their intention, I get that, but that you're not going to allow other people to throw you in this blender of madness. We don't function well there. And when we accept something like that, when we say, you know, sure, I can do that for you, then you have this very strange event going on the one side, where you've got this, I'm so helpful and look at what I'm doing and I've dropped everything to make A, B, and C happen, right? And then on the other side, you've got this this dialogue where maybe you're a little angry about it and irritated.
Resentful.
That they would resentful that they would ask you and that oh, I just can't believe that they wouldn't have their acts together more, and, you know, if they knew that this was coming, why did blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
So now by accepting that scenario, you become crazy.
Yeah, and that poisons your relationships all around you, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yeah, so nobody comes out the winner in that situation.
No, they don't. We're not meant to be martyrs.
Right. Martyrs never win.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so let's go a little bit about that whole selfish and that extreme self-care. So, kind of comment a little bit on the perception that a lot of us have on the term selfish. And I have an article that you wrote about selfish that's coming out on my blog, but then I really, really liked it. But just comment a little bit on the perception of that particular word and what the reality actually is of being selfish.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your compliment. And I think that the word selfish certainly sends up red flags for people, and, you know, at least in our culture, that think, oh, that was so selfish. How could she possibly have made the decision to do X when she could have done Y, or, you know, whatever that may be. And my challenge is to say, wait. How can we as women, we as powerful, amazing, brilliant women, be available to the people that we love and respect, the people that we, you know, our peers, everybody that we touch? How can we show up fully and completely if we're not being selfish, if we're not allowing time to take care of ourselves? So, you know, that's why in the coaching world right now, or at least in the last few years, you hear a lot about extreme self-care. It's certainly not something I've created, and yet at the same time, it's a way to say, this is important, this is extreme, what does this mean? So you change the word from selfish to self-care to get mm-hmm. people to understand
mm-hmm.
that when I'm talking about selfish, I'm talking about self-care. How can I be a good mother to my child if I'm stressed out all the time? How can I be present for her if I'm a whirling dervish in the morning on my way out the door, and then on the way home, I'm late, running late, dinner's late. And I'm not saying that that's always the case, but, you know, I've lived that life. I know what that is. And then everybody's tucked in for the night. You're ready to, you know, pass out by 8 o'clock. And what's happened? And where is your meaningful relationship? And if you're married, what's going on with your husband? And if you've got friends and family, then what's happening in those relationships? So your relationships will improve so much when you begin to put yourself first sometimes. And so a lot of times I'll talk to women who are in transition, because that's primarily the women I work with are transitioning from corporate to entrepreneur, or from corporate to something else, whatever it is that they're moving from and to. And it'll be, how do I do that? You know, Shan, you talk about following your natural rhythm. What are you talking about? Well, what I'm talking about is when you start planning your calendar and making your goals and setting up your life, creating your life the way you want it to look, you start with you first.
Mm-hmm.
So every single day there's at least one thing on your calendar, whether it's a walk, whether it's 10 minutes of quiet time, whether it's reading time, whether it's a bath, I don't care what it is. It's something that can be done for you and only you every single day. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about self-care, extreme self-care, and being selfish. The last time I looked around, the women who are taking care of themselves are the ones that are a delight to be with, are the ones that when they overhear somebody describing them, they'll probably blush, because there's so much love and admiration because they know how to take care of themselves as a woman.
And those women are probably, as you say, they're probably living more and bumping around less, when you say.
Absolutely living more, bumping around less, no question. Noticing the color of somebody's eyes that when you go and take your dry cleaning in or have a nice lunch, and you actually can look at someone and see them versus this transaction that you don't even remember.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
It's all about being mindful. You know, being mindful, being present.
Mm-hmm. Being right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of paying attention to what's around you. I remember when I was training for a half marathon, I would go out for my Saturday run, which was usually what I would reserve for my longer runs. And I would come back, and, you know, it's something I did for myself, and I knew that nobody else was really kind of noticing. Well, I didn't think anybody else was really kind of noticing it. But one morning I came back from my Saturday run, and my daughter says, "Mom, did you just come back from a run?" And I said, "Yeah, why?" And she's like, and she just kind of cheered. She's like, "Yay." And I'm like, "What do you mean? Why did that make you so happy?" She's like, "You were always in such a better mood after you work out, after you run."
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know what? That's probably really true, because if I didn't go out and do my run, you know, I mean, how many times do you wake up and you're like, gosh, I'd really rather kind of stay in bed for that extra few minutes than to get up and sweat.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I didn't do that, you know, I would kind of, it would kind of be like one of those spirals. You just kind of schlep around, and you wouldn't really, one thing would happen after another, and you wouldn't find the time to work out or take care of yourself. And by gosh, you just do it, get it done, and then you just feel, you're just, you know, incredible. And that leaks out to everybody
mm-hmm.
else around you. And it was just really enlightening to see that that somebody, you know, my daughter especially, notices that, and in her way she appreciates that.
Yeah.
It was really, really
neat. And such a beautiful, innocent, honest statement.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really neat. So how do we become more selfish? Well, how do we grab more of that self-care? I mean, we touched a little bit on it, but how do we just stop feeling so guilty about, you know, taking better care of ourselves?
You know, a lot of that begins with self-talk and really witnessing the voices in our head, which I call the board of directors, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. I do a lot of work around self-sabotage and things that we do as women so often, tell ourselves things like, I don't deserve that. Or, you know, for instance, how well do most women you know accept a compliment when somebody says, boy, that's a really beautiful dress. Oh, yeah, you know, I got it for $5 at the wherever. Or, you know, instead of, yeah, isn't it beautiful? Thank you. Or, gee, I love your new haircut. Oh, you know, I'm not really sure. That kind of stuff. We need to start really standing up and saying thank you, and at the same time knowing that we're deserving of these things, so that when this negative self-talk pops up and, oh, I really shouldn't be doing this. Wait, stop. Yes, I should. This is a moment in my life where I'm doing something that is going to pay back tenfold my family, my friends, my peers, my associates, my clients, etc., because I'm taking care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so how else do you grab onto that? Well, it's catching the self-talk and addressing it. And the more you do it, the less of that negative self-talk will pop up. The more you catch it, the more you witness it, it will start to go away naturally. And then the second thing is to actually schedule. I used to schedule gym time or walking time while I was at work. So if it meant having a light lunch on the way to or from the gym or walking or whatever I needed to do, I knew I needed to move my body. I didn't want to take the time away from my family at night, yet I wasn't a morning person, so I certainly wasn't going to be getting up at 5 a.m. and doing something. It was just, I was going to set myself up for failure if I did that.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, I could do something on my lunch hour. And it felt good to schedule that time. And now that I'm not in a corporate environment, I still schedule that time. I still make sure that I'm either doing yoga or Pilates or walking or getting a massage or taking a bath, or, and the list goes on and on. At least, the moving my body is a regular part. It's, you know, I certainly don't have a massage every day, but that would be decadent, and I would do it if I could. but you know what I'm saying? So that stuff's scheduled in. So I know that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm going to go and do X. I'm going to do Pilates with Rhonda, and that I'm going to teach yoga on Wednesday nights, and I'm going to do, okay, and where am I getting my cardio? If that's important to me, how can I fit that in, even if it's just a walk with my family? Oh, gee, there's a thought. Take a walk with your family.
Yeah, what a wonderful tradition, right? And what an awesome role model you become to your kids.
Yeah, and that's my hope, is that it's a wonderful thing to, and certainly we're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination as a family, but what we do is we spend time together at dinner. We talk about the things that we're grateful for. We enjoy a meal. We have a conversation, and then we take a walk. And that's our thing. And so even if that's the only thing that's transpired as a family, as real time together beyond the getting off to school and getting on with your day and all that, how cool is that?
That's awesome. And you're instilling that in your child now, who will instill it in their children. And it's like a pattern, and it's like a gift that, you know, from generation to generation, you know, it will just be it'll just be normal for them to behave in that way. You know, we're going to sit down at dinner as a family, and then we're going to go out and exercise as a family, you know, take a walk or whatever it is. And so I think that's just a wonderful gift to give to your kids.
Yeah, I do too. It's a blessing.
Yeah, that's very inspiring. That's great. When you say, you know, this self-talk, That isn't easy, now, is it? Because a lot of people have kind of been listening to these tapes in their head, or this board of directors, like you say, in their head. They've been listening to them as truth, as gospel, for a very long time.
So oh, yeah. Oh,
it,
yeah.
It seems like it's almost as if it's it's almost as if you need to practice it. Just like athletes need to practice their sport, you need to practice this positive self-talk, because it's just, it's not easy, and sometimes for a lot of people it doesn't come quite as easily as, you know, they would like.
Oh, no question. And the thing is, you don't know you're doing it. You don't, I mean, this is the part. Until you become aware of it, you're not aware of it. It's just a natural part of the way that you roll. So when you start to become aware of it, at least for me, it was, wow, who's that? Like, which one is that talking to me? And I would make fun of it, because this tyrant would come out and just be like, you're not doing enough of this, and you need to do more of that, and goals and priorities and blah, 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 blah. And I thought, wow, that's something.
So, yeah, you wouldn't talk to a friend that way.
Exactly. Exactly. We need to be kinder to ourselves. We need to be gentler to ourselves. We need to, when those kinds of internal dialogues pop up, we need to really look at that and say, wow, that's interesting. I wonder where that's coming from. And there's a great book called Taming Your Gremlin. And it's something that I would recommend for anybody that wants to learn more about self-sabotage and self-talk. Because certainly I'm not an expert there. I can speak to my experience. I can speak to what I've read and what I've taught in play shops and such. But it's just a great way to identify what's what and give a name to some of these gremlins or monsters. I call them monsters under the bed. And just address them and understand that we all have them.
Yeah.
And so the other thing that we do, and I did this with a group of women yesterday, it was hilarious, just hysterical. I said, you know, stand in front of the mirror in the morning. The first thing you do, you do your thing in the bathroom in the morning, look at the mirror and say, hello, gorgeous, and crack yourself up. Because, you know, you're all you've got. You're living in this body for the rest of your life. This is you have the closest relationship with you. You're it, right?
Yep.
let's work on having some fun with this. Let's treat ourselves better and have some truly take the joy out of every situation. Squeeze it out. Squeeze every last drop of joy juice out. And that's why I talk about the joy spotting, and I talk about the gratitude journaling and the lightening up and all of those things that are the humor involved. I remember being the day that I realized how important humor was as I was feeling, you know, like the life was being sucked out of me in the beginning of my transition from, you know, one world to the next. And I had a coach that just reminded me to find humor in the day-to-day stuff. And as soon, it was just like, honestly, it was like she just turned a light on for me. And I started seeing things that would get me bent out of shape or completely upside down as hilarious. I mean, high comedy. And then I could handle it.
Yeah, who says things can't be funny? We were just talking about this before we started the recording, that we just take ourselves way too seriously.
Mm-hmm. We need to knock it off. That's not what we're here for.
That's right. Why not have fun?
We're here to enjoy every single breath. And, yeah, some days are more difficult than others. And certainly I'm not talking about living in the, you know, in fairyland where where everything is perfect and beautiful. That's not what I mean. I mean that we have control of our attitudes and our actions to find as much joy and happiness as possible, and to eliminate as much of the other stuff as possible as well. And that leads me to the thought that we need to also be aware that people do not read our minds. You can't read my mind. Your husband can't read your mind. Your best friend, well, she might be able to read your mind occasionally, but we need to be very direct about what it is we need and feel comfortable and know that is something that we deserve. We deserve to have a voice, and we deserve to ask for what it is we want and need. And the people that we love deserve for us to be direct instead of in a position where they're supposed to guess what's going on in our head.
Right. We need to respect ourselves enough to make that known so that others can respect our wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. Awesome. Well, Shannon, I'm so glad that we had a chance to talk today. And you're so much fun, and you're so bubbly, and I've gotten, I think, every bit of joy juice out of you. And I'm going to write you down in my gratitude journal tonight that I was just so privileged to meet you and to talk to you today. But
oh my gosh, thank you.
And I want everybody out there to go in the mirror tomorrow morning when you wake up, or even tonight. But tomorrow morning for sure, get up, go do your thing in the bathroom, look in the mirror and say, "Hello, gorgeous," with as much enthusiasm as you can muster at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever. I'm going to do that.
It's a beautiful thing to have your family witness that as well, because that has happened.
I'm just thinking now, like, how bad my kids are going to be rolling their eyes when they hear me say that. But that's okay.
Exactly.
That's all right. I don't mind that.
Yeah, you see, it's true.
I know their mom's nuts. So, Shan, before we go, can you tell us where we can find you if somebody needs to contact you or find out a little bit more about True Balance Life Coaching? Where can we find you, and what other type of services do you provide?
Oh, thank you so much. Well, you can find me in a number of places, but the easiest place is at my website, and that's truebalancelifecoaching.com. I'm also on Twitter with my name, Shan Vanderleek. You can also find me on Facebook. I have a fan page. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. But right now, if you do visit my website or blog, you are welcome to a free copy of a special report that I created called Clobbering Overwhelm. It doesn't cost a thing. All you need to do is sign up for my monthly Life Balance newsletter and grab your free copy. Or if you want to contact me for a consultation, you're welcome to do that as well. And you can reach me again through that website at truebalancelifecoaching.com, or you can call me directly at 231-668-1111.
Awesome. Good.
Thanks so much for having me here today. It was such a pleasure.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to call you first thing tomorrow morning now and say, "Hello, gorgeous."
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you so much, Shan. I really appreciate the time that you took with us. And
you're welcome. It was great fun. Have a beautiful evening.
All right, you too. Thanks so much, Shan.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.